Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, we're doing a series on Sunday morning entitled About Entering Abundant Life, Entering Abundant Life. And today, the title of the message, if you need a title, it's exactly where this service is. It's this: when are you going to go in and possess what God's promised you? That's a question. When are you and I going to go in and possess what God has promised us? And that's a question that you're going to have to answer. And Jesus said these words. He said, I have come that you might have life. And that word life is the word Zoe, the life of God. I've come that you might have the life of God in you and have an abundance of it. Not just a little sprinkling every now and then, but an abundance of the life of God in you. I've come for that purpose. So the question is, when are you going to go ahead and partake of that? When are you going to start exercising the faith to believe that you have that? And when is the manifestation of God's life going to be manifested through you as you exercise the faith to believe that? So when I say abundant life, I want you to understand what I'm talking about, what I believe the Lord's talking about. Abundant life is not pie in the sky, everything's good, everything's fine, you got all the money that you need, and you got all the health you need, you got all the everything you need is there, and you're driving around rich and fancy. That's not the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. Abundant life actually is engaging in warfare. It is understanding that attacks of the enemy are coming at you. And abundant life is going through whatever it is you have to go through here, but with the life of God manifesting through you, so you don't diminish in love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and self-control. It's the abundance of God's life in you as you carry out your assignment here on this earth. There may be persecution involved. There may be spiritual warfare that you have to exercise, but abundant life is not a life free of any trouble. That's not abundant life. That's heaven. Thank God for heaven. But abundant life is here and now. And in a parallel to that, God in Scripture likens the abundant life very similar to Israel that was given the promised land. And the promised land was given in the same way that abundant life is now given to us. By faith, you got to go in and possess it. Amen. By faith, you got to believe that God is giving it to you, that it is possible for you to step into the promised land or abundant life here and now, not just in heaven, pie in the sky, but here in the nasty now and now, you can enjoy abundant life. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. All right, well then you're on your way. That's the first start, is believing that I am supposed to have abundant life now in my present circumstances that may not be so pleasant. You can have abundant life now. And this is what the Lord wants us to understand. Now, there's a warning, though, that is given to us today that when I say the promised land, I'm talking about for us the abundant life. But there was a promised land, Israel, of course, that the Israel that came, the generation of Moses that came out of Egypt, God had a destiny and a plan for them, and it was for them to enter the promised land, a land of their own, a land they were to occupy. Not a land free of trouble, because there were enemies in the land, there were strongholds in the land, but it was a land that they were to experience the abundance of God in overcoming victory and overcoming the enemy. And this is what abundant life is for us today. But there's a warning. And the warning is, just as there was a generation, Moses' generation, that came out of Egypt miraculously. They saw the plagues come upon Egypt miraculously and they were spared. They came through the Red Sea that actually parted, and they walked through on dry ground. They were led by the pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke by day. They had supernatural food. Manna was provided for them while they were in the wilderness. And when they needed water, God made water come out of a rock. They saw miracles, signs, and wonders. They had destiny. God said, I want you to enter into this promised land. But the problem was, for 40 years they wandered in the desert. Even though they experienced miracles and signs and wonders, this one generation that experienced all of this supernatural stuff of God, they got right up to the border and they could see it. They could smell it. They could look at it. But they got right up to the border, but that one generation did not enter in. They died one step away from their destiny. And this is written in the Bible in such a way to be a warning to you and I today that it is possible. You're born again. Maybe you've experienced healing. Maybe you've experienced miracles. Maybe you've seen incredible things that you can testify about. But it's possible that you could get all the way up to the border and not step into your destiny, which Jesus said is abundant life. Amen. Here and now. It's possible. And I want to give you that warning in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 and following. God is speaking prophetically to us in this congregation right now. He's saying, today, everybody say today. Today. This is a word for today. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as that generation did in the rebellion, that rebellious generation of Moses. For whom were they that heard and rebelled? Was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was God grieved for 40 years? So we see they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Some versions say rebellion. They rebelled against God. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, these are people that experience miracles, signs, and wonders that most of us will never see. Amen. They experience the things of God that most of us would love to experience. And they were true believers. We're going to see these people in heaven. These were believers. We'll see them in heaven. But yet they believed up to a point. And that point is what kept them from entering into the fullness of life that God expected them to have while they were here on earth. They didn't enter the promised land. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and said the problem with the church, because there's divisions and there's strife and there's fightings and all this among them, the problem is that they're carnal. Carnal, from the word carne, meaning flesh. If you're carnivorous, you eat flesh, you eat meat. And Paul said it's that there were Christians in the church that were hindering the church, and they would never reach their full potential because they were carnal. They were fleshly. They lived by more of their physical senses, what they could see, what they could hear, what they could smell, what they could taste, what they could touch. They lived more by the physical. The physical was more real to them than the spiritual. They were carnal. God said they were babies. They still had to have the milk of the word and couldn't eat the meat of the word. And because of that, they were hindering the church that had all kinds of spiritual gifts flowing in it. And so this Paul described them also in 1 Corinthians 3. He says they were behaving as mere men. I find that interesting. What do you mean? Aren't we supposed to behave as humans? Yeah, yeah. But they were behaving as if this is all there is. We're humans. And you may have used the excuse before, well, I'm only human. That's a lie if you're born again. You're not only human. You have a human body. But you're more than human. Now, when you're born again, you're supernatural. The Spirit of God dwells in your spirit, and your spirit and His spirit are merged together. You're a spirit being that'll never die. Oh, your body will fall over here one day, and you won't breathe anymore, and your heart won't beat anymore, but you'll be more alive then than you are right now. You're a spirit being that lives for eternity. Thank you for all those amens. You don't think about that much because you're more carnal. I'm not talking down to you. I'm just saying the majority of the church is carnal. Now, we're all carnal when we get saved. When you get born again, you're very carnal because all your life, your life has been dominated by the flesh. Your body tells you you don't feel good, then you start confessing, I don't feel good. Your body tells you, oh, you're depressed, and then you confess, well, I'm depressed. You're letting your body dictate who you are. And this carnality has dominated your life so much. You eat too much. You drink too much. You do the things that whatever your flesh wants to do, because your flesh is a spoiled brat. If you could separate your flesh from you right now, you'd give it a good spanking. And you said, now you sit down there and you do what I tell you. You're here to serve me. I'm not here to serve you. You know how a little baby, when they're born, they're spoiled brats. Yeah. Nobody has to teach them how to lie. Nobody has to teach them how to be selfish. Nobody has to teach them how to steal. It's just in them. And they're used to dominating their world. The world centers around them. And Christianity is no different. Once you become born again, you're carnal. You're a spoiled brat. And you've got to discipline your flesh because your flesh has dominated you all your life. And you've got to become less and less carnal and more spiritual by the renewing of your mind to think more like God and to train your body. Amen. Times of fasting. Fasting is still something we do in the New Covenant. Why do we do fasting? That means go without eating food for a certain period of time and devote more time to prayer than you would to eating food and things like that. Why do we do that? To train the body. Yeah. Your body has to be disciplined. It's got to be trained because it's unruly. It'll take over. And so you have to train the body and you have to renew the mind. Otherwise, you can be a spoiled brat, born again Christian. And this was a group of people that remained carnal that did not enter the promised land, although they saw all kinds of incredible miracles, signs, and wonders. And what they were actually doing, Psalm 78 amplifies this a little bit more with some commentary. Psalm 78, verse 37, is speaking of the children of Israel that died in the wilderness. They were supposed to be in the promised land. It says, for their heart was not devoted to God, neither were they committed to His covenant. Next verse 41 on down, it says, yes, they tested God over and over, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They didn't remember His power when He delivered them from the enemy. So what I'm saying to you today is that we're no different from them in the sense that we can be carnal and we can be limiting God right now with our lives. What He wants to do is so much more than what you've experienced. We could be limiting God right now. Probably there were some of you that were supposed to come up and speak, give a word, share a testimony or something during that time, and you felt a nudge, a prompting, you should say something, and you held back. No, I ain't going to do that. Maybe the Lord wanted you to do that and you didn't do it. Maybe your flesh took over instead of the Spirit of God. I don't know. I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm pointing out to you that it's possible to be a born-again Christian and be limiting God. Yeah. And then this warning to us is in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, if you bring that scripture up. Therefore, since the promise of entering God's rest remains, in other words, it's a live promise. It's a promise that's alive right now with potential. Amen. It is a seed that is waiting to be planted in good ground. It is a seed ready to be fully developed and will grow into an oak tree. It is a seed that will bear the fruit of the Spirit of God. It is a seed that has the incredible supernatural power of God's Spirit inside it that will manifest the gifts of the Spirit in you. Therefore, since a promise, this living promise of entering His rest or trusting God remains, let us fear. Everybody say, let us fear. 365 times in the Bible we're told, do not fear, do not fear, fear not, fear not. But here we're told to fear something that most people don't fear. Here we are told, there's one thing that you better fear, and you should fear. You should fear lest any of you should come short or come to the border or come to the edge of the abundant life that God has waiting for you, and you come to the edge but you don't step over in it. You ought to fear missing your destiny. You ought to fear not taking that abundant life that Jesus said, I came that you might have a life of God in you and a life abundant now in this life. You don't need it when you go to heaven. You need it now so that I can do through you miracles, signs, and wonders that the world will be in awe of, not to bring glory to you, but to bring glory to me. And you are here to display my glory. But it is possible that you do not have that fear that you might miss your destiny. You may not have that fear in you that enough to where you'll say, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll commit. I will go all the way. I will not limit God. I'll not hold God back from using my life. You ought to fear that somehow you'll come short of taking that live promise and applying it to your life. I don't care what everybody else does or doesn't do. It's about you and God. You ought to fear that you come short of the abundant life that Jesus said, I've come that you might have it. Well, I don't see anybody else. Doesn't matter about anybody else. It's talking about you. You can't compare yourself to everybody. You don't know what God's doing in their life. They're talking about you. Now notice he's speaking about this generation that died in the wilderness. He says, for the gospel that was preached to us was also preached to them. They were told about the promised land. They were told they were to go in and get it. They were told that God says, I've already given it to you. Jesus has said, I've already come that you might have a life abundant. It's already given to you. But he says, but the word preached didn't benefit them. It's possible for you to live under a prophetic, anointed word being spoken to you right now, but yet it not benefit you. It bounced right off of you. It's possible that the Word of God, the living Word of God, is not benefiting you because it's not mixed with faith. Somewhere along the line, when you hear a word from God, you've got to reach out and take it and say, that's mine. I claim that. That's my word. If it's not mixed with faith in those who hear it, it bounces right off of you. Living Word of God. For we who have believed, who are believing, have entered this rest. Rest is trusting God. I don't know the outcome. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to manifest any more than I did what the church service is going to be like today. I had no idea. But I could enter into rest knowing that God, you're in charge and I am here and I'll do whatever you want me to do whenever you want. I'm sure you'll know how to let me know what to do. And he does. And God says his works have been finished from the creation of the world. God's works have been finished. God has already done the salvation. If anybody wants to be saved, they can be saved. Jesus is not going to come and hang on the cross again. It's already been finished. Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. Jesus is not going to heal anybody else again. They've already been healed if they'll have to believe. The same way you receive salvation, by faith in His grace, you receive healing. Amen. He doesn't come back and do this. It's already done. His works are finished. And whoever enters His rest or trust in Him and rest in Him also ceases from their own works as God did from His. Now it tells us, now here's what we do. Let us labor. Everybody say labor. Labor to enter that rest. What is that? You labor to enter that kind of faith, that trust. I believe God more than my physical senses. That's going to take some labor on your part. I believe God more than what my mind tells me or my body tells me. That's going to take some labor on your part. It's going to take some warfare, possibly. Otherwise, now here's a warning. Otherwise, you are no different than the people in the time of Moses. They did not enter in a land that God said, you can have this, because of unbelief. And the same way, the same pattern is happening today. There'll be many people who have heard what I'm preaching, but that will never step over into the abundant life that Jesus came to give them simply because of unbelief. It's a warning to the church. So I want to take you quickly just through a real quick, just give me a few minutes. I'm going to take you quickly through a little picture that you'll visually see that God was warning the people today, Christians today in the book of Hebrews, don't follow the example of Moses' generation. They missed their destiny. And it is possible for you today, born again people, to miss the life that God has planned for you and miss your destiny as well. So now let's use as an analogy real quick. The promised land, the land of Israel, was a physical place that Israel was told by God, you can go and inhabit it. And the whole purpose for Israel to be able to have this land that was still inhabited by enemies and strongholds is seen in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. We know Moses' generation didn't inhabit it, but we know the next generation came along after Moses, the Joshua generation, and they believed God enough to do the warfare to go forward and enter into that promised land. And God said to Joshua, the whole purpose of you even being able to enter the promised land is so that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you would fear the Lord your God always. The only reason that God saved you and gave you abundant life was not so you could just go to heaven when you die. It's so that you might manifest His glory in the earth right now to people who know you. People who know you. People who look at you. People you work with. People that you're your neighbors. They need to see the glory of God in your life. That's why you're still... Otherwise, you get saved, God just take you to heaven right away. You're here to display the glory of God in the earth. So if you got your Bible, go to Joshua chapter 5. Let me just show you something real quick. This new generation that it crossed over the Jordan River, the Joshua generation, and they actually entered the promised land. They are there. What their forefathers could not do, they're experiencing. They celebrated. They were excited. And as they got across, the first thing that God told Joshua to do was to circumcise the men. Why? Because this is a new generation. The older generation had been circumcised, which was the sign of the covenant, but the newer generation grew up without necessarily obeying that. And so God was telling Joshua, I want you to circumcise these men. They've got to realize they're in covenant with me. This is not by their own doing. This is not by their own how smart they are, how strong they are. This is because they're in covenant with me. So we enter into the things of God because we're in covenant with God, not because of our good works. And then God said in Joshua chapter 5, He said, after you men have been circumcised, He said, I want you to know through the circumcision, I have rolled away the shame of your past. In other words, in order for you to go forward, you got to roll the shame of the past off of you. You don't carry the past into your new life. You are a new creature, new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. So He said, you got to leave the past behind so that you can go into this new life. Are you listening? All right, quickly. More things happened. They kept the Passover. It just happened to be the Passover season as they entered into the promised land. So they remembered the Passover. Also, miraculously, the manna stopped. Remember, before, while 40 years while they were in the wilderness, there was no food. Now they're in the promised land, and God says, I'm not going to bottle feed you anymore. You're going to be able to eat the fruit of the land. Come on. So the manna ceased. And I'm just telling you some of the stories for the sake of time. Then they're in the, for the first day, they're in the promised land, and they must have been like, wow, this is surreal. We are here. This is what we're created to do. We're actually in the promised land. We know there are enemies out there. We know there are strongholds out there. But we've actually crossed over. What Moses' generation couldn't do, we do. We're here. Wow. And so the morning came, the noon came, and then the nighttime came. And so Joshua has all of Israel camp out. Everybody camp down. Get a good night's sleep, because tomorrow we're going forward. Everybody say, tomorrow we're going forward. So get a good night's sleep. So everybody's bedded down, and Joshua's about to bed down. It's dark, and all of a sudden, he probably was going to his tent, and all of a sudden, he sees a man that he'd never met before, a big man. And the man peers to him like this. He's standing in front of him. And Joshua says, well, are you for us or are you against us? I mean, I don't know who you are. Are you an enemy? Or are you with us? And he says, neither. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. This is the theophany of Jesus. In other words, this was Jesus being man. He said, no, I ain't on your side, and I ain't on their side. I've come to take over. You thought you were the leader, Joshua? No, no. I've come to take over. So this is at the beginning of the promised land. And with the sword drawn, Joshua recognizes this is not a man. This is not an angel. This is the Lord. And it says that he bowed down and he fell. It says he fell on his face. He was on his face before God. And he worshiped God. He realized, I'm not in charge. I'm not in control. This kind of life that you want me to have, I've got to surrender right now on day one. We're not going any further unless he takes over. You can't be in control and God in control. Either God's in control or you're in control. You can't have it both ways. And he fell on his face in worship. That's what the true definition of worship is, by the way. It means to surrender. It means to fall on your face before God. Last week, PJ and Barbie were sitting right here. PJ's a drummer. And I do this, and I don't do this for show. I do this for me. Sometimes during worship, I just lay down on the floor. Not only get on my knee, but I just get on my face before God. As if to say, God, I'm surrendering. I resurrender. I resubmit my life to you. My life is not my own. It's yours. You can do with me whatever you want to do. That's my way of worshiping God, and I like to do that. Well, PJ had probably never seen that before. And I got back up, and I was standing here, and PJ motioned for me, come over. He said, are you okay? I was kind of concerned about you. I saw you laying on the ground there. I didn't know if something wrong with you. I said, no, I'm real good, brother. Thank you very much. So when this thing came upon Joshua, he surrendered. He fell on his face. I encourage you to do that in your private times at home. I encourage you just get on your face before God. Say, God, I surrender. And Joshua needed to do this because this abundant life, this promised land living that God's called us into, this is where it begins. We got to surrender. And then the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, take off your shoes because this is holy ground. Take your shoes off. In other words, you're going to have to surrender your walk to me. From here on out, you're not going to walk the way you've always wanted to walk or go where you want to do or what you thought you... But now you take your shoes off as if to say, I've surrendered my walk to the Lord. God, where you want me to go is where I'll go. What you want me to do is what I do. I surrender my shoes, sir. He took his shoes off the same way Moses did. I surrender my walk to you, God. And I believe that it's possible that Joshua wouldn't have taken another step in and would have never done all the victories and all the things that he did had he not at that moment surrendered his walk to God. God, I don't know how to live this Spirit-led life. I don't know how to do this. I've got to surrender my walk to you. Quickly. After that, there was an incredible thing. Chapter 6, Joshua, I'm just going to tell you. The next day they look out and they see a walled city. Now you got to realize Israel was not a trained army. They didn't know anything about warfare, but there's a walled city. A walled city which was a stronghold. The first thing they encounter when they enter the promised land, or the first thing you encounter when you enter into abundant life, is that there's a stronghold that's got to be taken down. A stronghold is a lie of the enemy. A stronghold is something that you believe that is impossible to do. It's a hopeless situation, or it looks hopeless, and you believe that it's impossible. That thing's never going to come down. It's something that's been in your life for a long time, and you go, I don't think that one's going to come down. And there's a stronghold. The first thing they deal with when they enter the promised land or abundant living is there's a stronghold that's got to come down. And I don't have time to elaborate on it, but God gave specific directions in how it was to be done. So when you surrender your walk, you just don't run in and do what you think you should be doing, what you appear to be doing, but you sit and get instructions from God. And God gave very specific instructions. For 6 days they were to do this. On the seventh day, they had to precisely do what God was telling them to do. And at the precise time, the priest would blow the shofar, or the ram's horn, and when he would blow the shofar, the sound, after that the people heard it, and they would shout before they saw anything happen. Nothing had happened. The walls haven't shaken or anything. They would shout the victory. God says, I want you to tell the people after they hear the shofar to shout, because the victory is theirs already before they see it. In other words, to walk in this kind of victory, to walk in abundant life, to walk this kind of life, this is going to require of you to shout victory before you see anything happen. You're going to have to say you're healed, whether you don't feel it at all, before you see anything in your body. You're going to have to declare the victory. You're going to have to declare you're free before you see anything. Most of your life, you have waited to see something before you shouted the victory. But in abundant life, you shout the victory before you see anything. It's a total 180 difference of the way you've normally lived your life. And it happened. And I don't have time, but it happened. The walls fell down flat. If you've been to Israel, you can go see the excavation. The walls fell down flat. They didn't fall inside like they normally would, or outside. They fell down flat. It was a work of God. And after this, they had to do many more battles. They had to fight the Amorites, which are the people who lived in the high places, the mountains. They had to deal with them. They had to deal with the Canaanites, the people that lived in the low places. I'm trying to tell you something. Abundant life is not pie in the sky with no problems. Abundant life is victory after victory, but it's warfare. And you've got to be willing to fight a good fight of faith. But it's yours. Jesus said, I've come to give it to you. Now, I asked you a question earlier, and I close with this. When are you going to go and possess it? You going to wait another year? What's it going to take? When are you going to go in and surrender and say, Lord, I want this? Some of you today ought to just come up in just a moment, not to appease me, but you ought to come up here, and you ought to take your shoes off and say, Lord, I'm surrendering my walk to you. As a prophetic act, I'm surrendering my walk. Some of you ought to come up here and just lay on the ground and say, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you. You are the Lord. You have claims to my life. I have not been letting you live your life through me. That's what abundant life is. So I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Thank you for you being your patient this morning, and thank you for a little extra time. But I pray for you right now, and I pray that you will walk now and act out in faith something that God has told you to do. If you want this abundant life, it's yours. Amen. Right now. Anybody here that had just enough childlike faith to say, Lord, I believe, you can have this. You can have it. God is no respecter of persons. And God will work in and through your life as you submit to Him. But first it comes a surrendered walk. Lord, I surrender my walk to you. Altar workers, if you come up here and stand with me for people that might need prayer for anything. I'm going to blow the shofar in a moment, and as I blow the shofar, try to blow it, I want you to shout a shout of victory. Amen. And then I want you to act out what God has spoken into your heart to act out. Maybe come up here and lay on the floor. Maybe come up here and take your shoes off and dedicate yourself to walk out of here living abundant life. But I want you to shout the victory, and you can start moving right now. Shout the victory before you see anything in your life. Shout the shout of faith before you see anything. You got a prodigal child, we shout the shout of faith, believing our prodigal's coming home. We shout the shout of faith ahead of time. And so, Lord, as I blow this shofar, I pray the sound will resonate in people's hearts, and the sound will cause a shout of faith, a shout of victory, that the enemy will begin to tremble and strongholds will come down today in the name of Jesus, and addictions will be broken, depression will be broken, and your people will be set free. Hallelujah. Lift your hands in victory. Lift your hands. Start declaring your victory right now, whatever your stronghold is. Don't be ashamed. God's going to remove the shame, the reproach of the past. Start shouting the victory in your heart and in your mind right now. Declare it. Declare it. I have victory over this. I have victory over addiction. I have victory over this. I have victory over depression. I have victory over my body. I have victory. Start declaring it. Believe it. Claim it. Given you the victory. Hey! Lord, I believe we enter in abundant life. We enter in the promised land. We take it, Lord. We believe you. We believe you. Yay! Do I have any takers? Then come take what God said is yours. Do it now. Come take it. Take your shoes off. Surrender your walk. Surrender your life. Give yourself to Him. He will take you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I surrender to you. Hallelujah. 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 Victory. Victory. Victory, 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 all the way, victory, no halfway, victory all the way, victory all the way. If you need prayer, come up and let one of these folks pray with you. Believe for your healing, believe for your victory. Do not quit, do not back down, do not give up. Fight the good fight of faith, claim what is yours, don't let the devil talk you out of it. And don't quit. Through patience and faith, we inherit the promises. Hallelujah. 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 Surrender, surrender, surrender. Surrender your walk. Surrender your day. Tomorrow, do it again. The next day, do it the next day. Keep doing it. You'll see victory like never before. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Victory. Let them see victory.